Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The words of the gospel this morning are stark and vivid and strange and scary, even. And depending upon what tradition you are from in the Christian church, you will either dismiss it or make much of it. This warning of apocalypse to come. How we hear and understand this section from Luke's Gospel and from Mark as well, from which it was drawn in the other Gospels, about Jesus depicting the end times and what will happen to us when all that comes and takes place, all of that material is understood differently in different centuries. If you were a person who heard it originally from the mouth of Christ and or heard it again as the Gospels were put together and proclaimed in the early church, what you would have heard is the condemnation of Herod, that cruel and bitter tyrant. You would have heard the nature of what it was like to be under a vassal state and to be oppressed. Fast forward a century in the time of Cyprian in the early 2nd century. You would have heard and known of the demise of the temple, it falling down, the beginning of synagogue worship spread diffusely across the Mediterranean, but you would have heard as the early Christian movement a warning to persevere. Because you knew that the empire, the Roman Empire, was arresting you. In a letter we possess in the church by Cyprian from 230 or so, Cyprian writes to his friend Donatus in what can only be described as a confession, an outing of Cyprian as a Christian. To Donatus, a pagan believer, part of the loyalists of the Roman Empire. Cyprian writes, "This seems a cheerful world, Donatus, when I view it from the fair garden under the shadow of these vines. But if I climbed to some great mountain and looked over the wide lands, you know very well what I would see. Brigands on the high road, pirates on the seas and in the amphitheaters, men and women murdered to please the applauding crowds. Under all roofs, misery and selfishness. It is really a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad world, yet in the midst of it, I have found a quiet and holy people. They have discovered a joy which is a thousand times better than any pleasures of this sinful world. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They have overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are the Christians. And I am one of them." These people, Donatus, are the Christians, and I am one of them. A few more 100 years, and we would have come to the place where the church was captured and purloined, as it were, by societal forces. After Constantine, the merging of society and church, creating what's euphemistically called the Holy Roman Empire, in which there was very little holiness about it. It was all power and conscription into a faith you believed or didn't believe only because at the point of the spear you must mouth the words. It became the almost the opposite version of that community understood as the earliest Christians understood it and were willing to die for it. It became, instead of a movement of resistance and the awakening of new kingdom within, it became another version of the amphitheater and the spectacle. And the words of Jesus in that case were simply used to control and contain the masses. In our day, what do we hear now? I am reminded of this passage by some of the books written around the time of World War II Dietrich Bonhoeffer, H. Richard Niebuhr, Reinhold Niebuhr, writing in New York City, at Union Theological Seminary. They wrote these fabulous books, understanding that their culture was going off the rails. One of the books, called Christ and Culture, is a depiction of various ways in which Christian communities over the centuries have understood their relationship to their culture. And we have seen that some would like to find Christ in culture and try to ensure that we become a godly Christian culture somehow and enforce our will like Constantine upon everybody. Others see somehow the mystical transformation of culture over time into the kingdom of God that's not of this world. And then others see we must oppose culture, that Christ is against it. And everyone throughout history has come down in a different place on that question of how do you live out your Christian life in the midst of a world that may or may not be kind and considerate and fostering and felicitous to the nature of the Christian movement. Fast forward 300 or 400 more years, and what will we find? I was having a conversation with a friend about what would happen if we found alien cultures on other planets. Would they have Jesus? I thought that was an interesting question. I had to pause for a moment because I hadn't really considered it, seeing as I won't be around in a couple of hundred years. But what does it mean then? But the thought occurs to me, it all depends on how big or small your God is. If another culture is developing, which surely it must, with the billions of galaxies, each with billions of stars, each with trillions and trillions of planets whirling around them, surely there is another culture set at liberty to pursue and create. Now, if there is another species that develops that has the ability of free will to choose what it can become or not, then in that finite space of time, clearly any other species is going to do what we've done. Fall down. Fall apart. Fail. Can I have a show of hands? Is there anyone here who is not a hypocrite? I need to know. I really need to know if there's someone here who's not a hypocrite. Joe, are you a hypocrite? I hope so. Dear God, please say yes. What would happen? What would happen if you were not a hypocrite? That would mean that your values are so low, your goals for yourself are so pitiably mediocre that you can accomplish everything you set your sights to do. What kind of horrid human being would you be if you never failed, if you always lived up to your value system? This is a monstrous idea. Please let me know who you are so I can tell everyone I love to stay away from you. So some other species on some other planet growing is going to have the same quandary we are having if they're existing in any kind of freedom at all to choose consciousness. Like you and I, we will naturally fail. And what will happen to us in our failure? Can you imagine the creator of the universe not providing the way out? The perfection of love vaster than, you know, and I had this conversation with someone who was looking at the Hubble telescope pictures and going, you know, your God, how can you have a God like this? Look at these pictures of these far off planets. To which I simply responded, and how small a God do you think I believe in? And how pitiably small is your vision of the universe if it's all contained and that you can see it from whatever high-powered telescope orbiting a planet or out in outer space post-solar system you can imagine. Of course, the creator of this existence has to be much vaster, and therefore it is no quibble or trouble at all to imagine God will not leave those who have been endowed with any kind of beauty and creation without a way out. or rather, a way through, or rather, a way into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Every blade of grass, every aspect of creation, every black hole, every red giant, all things will be made whole. From the point of view of 3,000 years from now, when the Gospel of Luke is read and understood, can we imagine that place where the virtues of patience and fortitude, courage and temperance, wisdom and modesty, embodied in the character of that which redeems us, will not still be told? Oh no. These readings about the apocalypse don't scare me. Or you? They're thrilling. They're evidence of a God who is vaster than we can possibly imagine, and in the end, who will not leave us comfortless. You never know who shows up in church on a given Sunday and what giants they're struggling with. But no, even in that struggle, those people have gone before and have proven worthy, and have been given that worthiness by one who will never leave them desolate or disconsolate. At some point, someone's going to rediscover a letter from a martyred person in the second century, and they're going to read it again. And they're going to say, in the midst of a bad world, they have found a quiet and holy people. They have discovered a joy 1,000 times greater than the distractions of this world. They are despised and persecuted, and they care not. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians. And we are one of them.
Amen.